Good morning.
Good morning.
This too is a day the Lord has made. He's given us ample reason to rejoice in this day, and especially in the fact that we have the privilege to worship together here in person and also online. As we worship today, does the why, Lord, question get easier to deal with the passing of time? Or do we find more reasons to ask that question, why, Lord? While there are so many good things that are going on in our world, we cannot entirely escape the not so good. And so the question, why, Lord? We plan to explore this a bit more during our worship today. God be praised for what He reveals to us in the pages of the Bible. Let us then glorify Him, continue to grow up in our faith in Him, and keep going out with His good news. I invite your attention to page 3 of the worship bulletin as we turn now to the invocation. Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being. Praise His holy name.
Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits.
We worship this day in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Thank you.
Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being. Praise his holy name. Dear friends, let us approach God with a true heart and confess our sins, asking him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to forgive us.
Lord of life, I confess that I am by nature dead in sin, for faithless, worthy, and selfish pride, for sins of habit and sins of choice, for the evil I have done and the good I have failed to do. You should cast me away from your presence forever. O Lord, I am sorry for my sins. Forgive me for Jesus' sake. Christ has died.
Christ is risen. Christ will come again. In his great mercy, God made us alive in Christ, even when we were dead in our sins. Hear the word of Christ through his called servant. All your sins are forgiven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thanks be to God.
Praise the Lord, O my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name.
As far as the east is from the west, so far as you remove our transgressions from us.
In bringing Layla to holy baptism, you are observing the will of the Lord who instituted baptism, saying in the last chapter of Matthew, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit." We learn from the Word of God that since Adam's fall into sin, all people are conceived and born in sin, and so are under the wrath of God, and would be lost forever unless delivered by our Lord Jesus Christ. Layla then is also by nature sinful and under the wrath of God. But the Father of all mercy and grace has promised and sent his Son, Jesus Christ, who has borne the sins of the whole world and redeemed and saved little children, no less than others, from sin, death, and everlasting condemnation. Thus, we can never sufficiently thank God that in baptism, he has given a means whereby he works in little children by his divine grace, turning their hearts to faith, cleansing them from their sins, and receiving them into his family. The simple act of baptism has such wonderful power because the Almighty God works in it through his word. It is the divine word which makes baptism the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, as the Apostle Paul describes it in the Bible book of Titus. For this reason, Christ says in the last chapter of Mark, "Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved." It is good and right, therefore, that we should hear in the sight of God and these witnesses, administer this sacrament in the fear of God and with due reverence and sincere devotion. Layla, receive the sign of the cross on the head and heart, signifying that you have been redeemed by Christ, the crucified and risen Savior. Dear parents, our Lord Jesus Christ, in instituting baptism, not only commanded that children should be baptized, but also that they should be taught to observe everything which he has commanded us. Therefore, we encourage you to bring up Layla in the way of the Lord, and by your own word and example, set that example for her. And so with the hope and the goal that she will remain in her baptismal grace all the days of her life. And dear godparents, you are here to witness and bear fact to the fact that Layla is being baptized in the name of the triune God, and thereby possesses the saving faith in the one true God, and renounces the devil and his wicked works, it should be your privilege and responsibility to remind her of her baptism and what that all means, so that she may be brought up in true knowledge and fear of God, according to the teachings of the Bible. And so, Layla, bring her forward a little bit. Layla Garner, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The Almighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given you rebirth by water and the Holy Spirit, has forgiven all your sins. May he protect and preserve you in all your ways and strengthen you with his grace unto life everlasting. Peace be with you. And as a symbol of Christ, who is the light of the world and has given this light to Layla in her heart, receive this candle to signify her baptism and what this is to mean for her life in Christ. And as you hold that, dear members of St. Mark's, Layla has now been, by holy baptism, become a member of Christ in obedience to the will of our Lord, who said, "Feed my lambs." It is our solemn obligation to assist these parents in every way possible in the spiritual training of their child, that she may be brought up to lead a godly life until the day of Jesus Christ. If you are willing to do this, then answer yes, and I ask God to help us.
Yes, I ask God to help us. We pray.
Almighty and merciful God, we thank you for graciously preserving and extending your church, and that you have granted Layla the new birth and holy baptism, and made her a member of your dear Son, our Lord, and an heir of your heavenly kingdom. We pray that you would keep her in her baptismal grace, that according to all your good pleasure, she may be faithfully brought up to lead a godly life to the praise and honor of your holy name. And finally, with all your saints, obtain the promised inheritance in heaven through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And to also celebrate this baptism, I direct you to page 4 on the bottom, as we'll continue with the song, "See This Wonder in the Making." In peace, let us pray to the Lord for the well-being of all people everywhere, that they may receive from you all they need to sustain body and life. Hear our prayer, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the spread of your life-giving gospel throughout the world, that all who are lost in sin may be brought to faith in you. Hear our prayer, O Christ.
Christ, have mercy.
For patience and perseverance in this life, that we may not lose the hope of heaven as we await your return. Hear our prayer, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord of life, live in us that we may live for you. For this Sunday in the church year of Lent, a reading from Holy Scripture from the prophet Isaiah, the 42nd chapter, reminding us that God's patience did run out with the children of Israel, and rightly so, as they continued to turn to gods that truly weren't gods. We hear these words, "For a long time I have kept silent. I have been quiet and held myself back. But now, like a woman in childbirth, I cry out, I gasp and pant. I will lay waste the mountains and hills and dry up all their vegetation. I will turn rivers into islands and dry up the pools. I will lead the blind by ways they have not known. Along unfamiliar paths I will guide them. I will turn the darkness into light before them and make the rough places smooth. These are the things I will do. I will not forsake them. But those who trust in idols, who say to images, 'You are our gods,' will be turned back in utter shame. Hear, you deaf, look, you blind, and see. Who is blind but my servant, and deaf like the messenger I send? Who is blind like the one in covenant with me, blind like the servant of the Lord? You have seen many things, but you pay no attention. Your ears are open, but you do not listen. It pleased the Lord for the sake of his righteousness to make his law great and glorious." The word of the Lord.
Thank you.
It is clear when it comes to the how and why followers of Christ are to be separate from those who do not follow him. This reminder, a reading from Holy Scripture, Ephesians 5. For you were once darkness, but now you are the light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. This is why it is said, "Wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." The word of the Lord.
Thank you.
I invite you to stand for the gospel reading.
A reading from Holy Scripture, the Gospel of St. John, the 9th chapter. No matter the
evidence some sadly still remain in their spiritual blindness, our Lord says this: as he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus. "But this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. As long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." After saying this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. "Go," he told him, "wash in the pool of Siloam." This word means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. They brought to the Pharisees the man who had been blind. Now the day in which Jesus had made the mud and opened the man's eyes was a Sabbath. Therefore the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. "He put mud on my eyes," the man replied, "and I washed, and now I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath." But others asked, "How can a sinner perform such signs?" So they were divided. Then they turned again to the blind man. "What have you to say about him? It was your eyes he opened." The man replied, "He is a prophet." To this they replied, "You were steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us?" And they threw him out. Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, and when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" "Who is he, sir?" the man asked. "Tell me so that I may believe in him." Jesus said, "You have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you." Then the man said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshipped him. Jesus said, "For judgment I have come into this world, so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind." This is the word of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ. Please be seated as we now turn to our hymn of the day, Amazing Grace.
Thank you.
Grace, mercy, and peace are yours in great abundance, thanks to God our Father, and also through our living Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in whose name we continue our focus on the Scriptures this morning. We turn back to that gospel reading from John chapter 9, where we hear once again these words, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" "Who is he, sir?" the man asked. "Tell me so that I may believe in him." Jesus said, "You have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you." Then the man said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. Jesus said, "For judgment I have come into this world, so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind." This is God's word, we pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed by that rock and redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, who thankfully out of grace, undeserved love, was willing to do what we are not able to do, live a life of full obedience and take that obedience to the cross and win reconciliation with God our Father and give that to us, that verdict for time and eternity. When it comes to the miracles of Jesus, which one of those miracles seems to stick with you the most, and why is that? There are many miracles to choose from. Perhaps it's the changing water into wine, the first recorded miracle of Jesus while here in flesh. Maybe it's the raising of Lazarus from the dead, or maybe raising the widow's son, the widow from Nain, raising him from the dead. Maybe it's curing that very contagious disease of leprosy. Perhaps it's the miracles of people who were lame and now they were able to walk. Maybe it's the casting out of demons so that people could live a normal life. Maybe it's the one recorded before us today in John 9, giving physical sight to someone who had been born blind. Well, let us also then not forget, as we think about those miracles, the miracle that also takes place in each one of us by the grace of God, that takes place in our heart, giving us the gift of faith. But as we talk about miracles, why is it that not everyone believes in miracles or are skeptical that miracles take place? I mean, it's true, not every out of the ordinary occurrence can be called a miracle. But yet isn't God of the universe, the creator of this world, still capable of doing miracles, even if we do not recognize them to be such? Take, again, the account before us from John chapter 9. We have healing taking place. We have skepticism being revealed. We have evidence of sin in the world. We have a reminder of what believers are to be doing while they are living on this side of heaven. And we have so much more. And at the heart of this account is something for us individually to take note of and to give thanks for. And that is the fact that God has given us sight where we need it most, in our heart. A heart that is blind toward God until he has impacted us with his grace. And so today, but not just today, God be praised that we can see. For God has given us the sight that we truly need. And with that sight that he has given to us, he also gives us that sight to use for good. God be praised, yes, that you can see. Because by nature, as we learn from the Scriptures and we sang about in the hymns, and we heard again through the baptism, all of us, all human beings, are spiritually blind by nature. Conceived and born under the wrath of God, unless impacted by the grace of God. But who wants to admit that they are spiritually blind to God by nature? I mean, after all, we seem to be pretty good people. Isn't that good enough? But it's not. The prophet Isaiah reminds us even the good that we do is tainted. And so it's like filthy rags. Because of that spiritual blindness we all have that's been passed down to us from our parents and their parents and so on down the line. Which then begs the question which was asked in our John 9 for today in relation to why do bad things happen? For example, why was this man born blind? The question was, well, who sinned? Did this person sin while he was in the womb? Did his parents sin that their son was struck with blindness? I mean, what gives? Why was he born blind? Well, one truth that Jesus emphasizes in answer to that question of who sinned is that not every consequence can be traced back to a specific sin. But because of sin in the world, the sin that we all have in our hearts by nature, consequences take place. But there also are those consequences that we bring about on ourselves. I mean, if you smoke 10 packs a day, there's going to be a consequence. If you drink a liter of alcohol a day, there's going to be a consequence. Right? If you continually drink and drive, potentially is going to be a consequence. But not every consequence, again, can be traced back to specific sin. Because of sin in the world, yes, people are born blind. People are not able to walk. Things do happen in this world that are not pretty. The Lord has told us of the why so that we can deal with the why and address it and recognize our dependence on Him. Well, in response to all of that, right, well, we want to still blame somebody. Let's blame the tobacco company. Let's blame the manufacturer of Jack Daniels. Let's blame the car manufacturers. Let's blame somebody. Let's even blame God. But God has made the expectations clear. For example, in Luke 11, He says, "Blessed are they who hear the word of God and obey it." I mean, how many of us can say that we are perfect when it comes to obeying the word and will of God? And yet we still expect blessings? There are also those who mistake God's love. Because He is a God of love, well, then they all just kind of assume that He is a pushover. He should give us whatever He want, what we want, and not give us those bad things, consequences. I mean, how does that work for parenting? If parents don't have expectations and hand out discipline, what happens? Parents have a responsibility to put on the brakes when there is something not going correctly so that that child can be spared harm, hopefully. And better to learn that lesson when little than to learn that lesson or not even learn a lesson when older. So God does discipline, allow consequences in our life to help us. He is not against us. The Lord also reminds us as He gives an answer to that question of who sinned, this man or his parents. He reminds us that there is no true healing that can take place apart from the healing that God gives. As we heard in our reading from Isaiah and also emphasized in the hymns, I mean, people will turn to various things in an attempt to find healing for the soul, but apart from God, they won't find it. I mean, the children of Israel, Isaiah was told to tell them the ludicrousy of their plan. I mean, they here were making idols out of wood and stone and then turning and bowing down to those idols that they had made, expecting them to help them. rather than worshiping and going to the Creator themselves, who indeed could help them and had proven His help all the way so far in their lives. But don't we still do that today? Instead of turning to the Creator of the universe, we turn to the created things and expect those things to help us. And so we still need to be directed and redirected to the true source of healing for the soul, and one who also can bring about healing for the body. But even if there's not healing for the body that is granted, that doesn't take away the healing that is there for the soul for time and eternity. And at the heart of that healing is our Savior Jesus Christ, who went to the cross after living that perfect life of obedience demanded of us but cannot be lived by us. And there on the cross, when He said, "It is finished," all the sins that you and I have committed and will commit, the abuse that we put on our bodies and our souls, that it has all been paid for. Not to be brought up against us again, not so that we can continue to live in disobedience and sin, but rather that we are empowered to break free from it and to live our lives to the glory of God. And how then does God give us that verdict which Jesus has won for us, that forgiveness that comes with the verdict, "It is finished"? And with that, the peace and righteousness that only God can give and healing of the soul, it comes through the work of the Holy Spirit using the means of grace, the gospel and word and sacrament. Through the gospel itself and through that sacrament of baptism, God brings people, even little children, into a relationship with Him and assures them their sins are forgiven, not by anything they have to do or can do, but that salvation is purely by Him. And then through the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, the Lord strengthens us in that one true faith, which is rooted in Jesus Christ and what He has done for us through the cross and sealed by the empty tomb. Praise God that you can see. For God has given us the sight that we need through the gift of faith. Sight rooted in Jesus, our Savior, our righteousness. And with that then comes the ability to use this sight for good. And while it is day, the Lord emphasizes, we all have a responsibility while we are still on this side of heaven, living and breathing, to do the good that God requires of us. And part of that includes being nurtured in our faith, taking advantage of the means of grace, the tools God has given us to strengthen us in our forgiveness and in His peace, and to empower us to do good works. I mean, it really is kind of common sense, right? To take care of this that God has given to us in our heart. I mean, if you are able to see, what do you do to keep your eyesight healthy besides eating carrots? I mean, if you're going to go and cut some wood, do you wear eye protection? When you're weed whacking, do you wear eye protection? It makes sense to do so because it can happen, right? When you're cutting that piece of wood and it bucks off the saw and a speck comes back and gets you in the eye, if you weren't wearing eye protection, or when you're weed whacking and that rock comes back and hits you in the eye, who's to blame? And so if we recognize the importance and the need and the ability to protect our physical eyesight, how much more ought we recognize the need to protect our spiritual eyesight? And thankfully, we are doing that today, but how many people do you know, even in your own family, who may recognize it's good to protect their physical eyesight, but not their spiritual eyesight? I mean, we have this vision, but if we don't take care of it physically, right, we can lose it. If we know we're going to starting to lose it, we can't see, it's kind of fuzzy. Are there two cars in front of me at that stoplight or just one? Right, we go to the doctor. At least we should. And if we are a little fuzzy on the inside, do we just ignore that, or do we get connected again to the means of grace, which can clear up that blurriness? That's just one part of the good that we are enabled to do through this sight. Another part, though, is talking it up to others. We can use everyday occurrences. For example, yeah, why do bad things happen? Why do rocks shoot up when we're weed whacking? Why are people handicapped or born blind or lose their sight? You know what? I think I read something about why. Back in the Bible book of Genesis chapter 3, it talks about the why. And there's also a way to deal with it, and there's a solution to the bigger problem of what's going on in the world, the spiritual blindness, and that's also in another book, John chapter 3, talking about God's undeserved love. I mean, we can use so many everyday examples as a starting point into talking about why things are the way they are in our world and what's the solution. And we recognize that things will not be perfect on this side of heaven. But it doesn't mean we have to live contently with imperfection. Because we have been given a perfection to hold on to through Jesus our Savior. And God be praised for that, that you can see that. And also then, as we go through difficult times, the sight that God has given to us to use for good, it helps us have compassion to those who are suffering. To be kind and compassionate as we would want people to be kind and compassionate toward us. We can be grateful that, again, if we have our sight and we see somebody who doesn't have that or have lost it, be grateful that we still have it, along with other things. It also can move us to help out those who are looking for cures, for some of the ailments that are going on in our world, how they're looking for natural cures, and where do those cures come from? The plants in our world that provide curing, healing powers didn't just come about by accident. It wasn't by the fact that two atoms were spinning in reverse direction. All of a sudden, boom, there are plants and trees with healing powers. No, that's all by design from God our Creator. But He's provided an even greater healing we want to share with people through Jesus, His Son, our Savior. And as we see what still abounds here on this earth and not so good, we are reminded until it is day, as long as we have breath on this earth, we are not to give up in offering true sight to people through the gospel. We recognize, though, as Jesus came across it, there will be rejection. And so we can expect setbacks along the way, physically, individually, collectively. There will be cynics. But may such not divert us from proclaiming the good news. The problem of sin, the solution, Jesus. To help us keep moving forward, whatever miracle it is that sticks with you, and for whatever reason that is, may it also remind you of what has taken place in your heart by the grace of God. To have a relationship with Jesus as Savior. God be praised then, dear friends, that you can see. And what does that lead God's people to say? If you want to be done with this sermon. Amen. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, the light of the world who has given us true light for this world and the next. Amen. We join in a confession of faith, identifying the God that we worship, the Nicene Creed. It's found on page 8. We believe
in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through Him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, He came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake He was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day He rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and His kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. We turn to the prayer of the church
on page 9. We pray, Almighty God, Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, we praise you for reconciling us to yourself through the sufferings and death of your dear Son. Through him, we have confidence to enter into your presence and to bring you our prayers and petitions. Out of the infinite bounty of your goodness, grant us a rich measure of your Spirit.
Let the love of Christ fill your church, so that it may flourish in all good works. Help us show love and compassion for all who are in need.
Bestow on the
nations of the earth a knowledge of your mercy, that they may turn to you, the only God, and find salvation in you.
Give a
special measure of your power to those who are sorrowful or mourning, to those who are in pain or sickness, to those who may be in temptation or peril, that they may receive your blessed aid.
And help us patiently endure in each chastening afflictions you permit to come into our lives, knowing that you are using them all to prepare us for that joyful communion with you, which is ours for all eternity.
Lord of heaven and earth
and sea, to you all praise and glory be. How can we thank you properly who gives us all? Dear Lord, from you we all derive our life, our gifts, our power to give. Oh, may we ever with you live who gives us all. Continue to watch over the coming and going of those able to celebrate another year of grace here on earth. And for those celebrating a wedding anniversary, renew the couple's love for each other as they reflect on the love you have for them. And, O Lord, physician of both body and soul, continue to grant healing to Penny Boshaw and Michael Gunter, who are recovering from the medical assistance both recently needed. Also bring success and healing and peace of mind to Janet Heyer as she prepares for an upcoming medical procedure. Now hear us, Lord, as we bring you our private petitions. Accept our prayers and intercessions, and provide for all our needs, not because we are worthy, but for the sake of Jesus, our Savior.
Amen.
As we turn now to the sacrament, lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
Blessed are you, O Lord of heaven and earth. We praise and thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ. And we remember the great acts of love through which he has ransomed us from sin, death, and the devil's power.
By his incarnation, he became one with us. By his perfect life, he fulfilled the overwhelming will. By his innocent death, he overcame hell. By his rising from the grave, he opened heaven.
Invited by your grace and instructed by your word, we approach your table with repentant and joyful hearts. Strengthen us through Christ's body and blood, and preserve us in the true faith until we feast with him and all his ransomed people in glory everlasting.
Amen.
And we also pray,
our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he gave thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, take and eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
given unto death for the full forgiveness of your sins. They can eat the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for the full forgiveness of your sins.
Thank you.
We pray. Blessed Lord, you have given us your holy scriptures for our learning. May we so hear them, read, learn, and take them to heart, that being strengthened and comforted by your holy word, we may hold firmly to the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. Just a couple announcements to highlight. We have our fifth midweek Lenten service coming up this Wednesday, Lord willing, at 6:30 with supper at 5:30 in the Multipurpose Center. Mission Box month of March, we are emphasizing the Lutheran Women's Missionary Society Mission Box opportunity as our rally is coming up in April. And so if you want to learn more about the Mission Box opportunity, please see the information board there in the lobby. Also then, the rally on April 15th, we are hosting it this time. It's not too early to start signing up if you plan to attend that rally so we can get a count of how many people to expect. So again, you'll find that sign-up sheet there by the information board. For those with children who are not yet teens, keep in mind the Connect event next Sunday in between the services. So opportunity for all our young families to connect. That'll take place in the Multipurpose Center. You can read more about that in the weekly news. NorCal Men's Meeting, that's coming up on the end of April. But again, we want to get sign up going early so we can count on how many are planning to come. So please keep that in mind. You can learn more about that in the weekly news. And then just see the weekly news for other things that are going on. Just as we noted last week, we give thanks. Our principal, Darren Vogt, returned the call to teach in Milwaukee. And this week we learned that our first and second grade teacher, Ms. Rosemary Boschek, has returned her call to teach in Albuquerque and will be staying with us. So we're thankful for that. And before I hand it over to Jim Oswald, who is our chairman of outreach, to announce a few things that are coming up, Community Connect events, just keep ask that you keep me in your prayers as I have a call to consider serving a congregation, Trinity Lutheran in Saline, Michigan, which is near Ann Arbor. So I'll be thinking about that in the weeks to come. Thank you.
Wow. To be in God's house with you today, how great thou art. Baptism, amazing grace, the Lord's Supper. I want to share with you some opportunities that are coming up very quickly to share what we enjoy here, the joy of those eyes in our hearts that we got, that Pastor talked about. We're going to be able to go out and share Jesus with others. The first one, and this is all before Easter, which is coming up very quickly. The first one is this coming Saturday, 10 o'clock. We'll meet in the gym or the multipurpose center, and we're going to go out with invitations into a couple of neighborhoods. A little bit easier than what we've done in the past with Mighty Warriors. We're mostly going to leave them at the doors, but we're going to refresh our training a little bit before we go out, because there might be some people walking dogs or working in their garages. We'll look for opportunities to share Jesus with people in those neighborhoods. We'll also encourage you to take some of those invitations once we get them here into your own community, to your neighbors, maybe your workplace, whatever works well for you, so that we can fill the church and share the resurrection of Jesus. So that's next Saturday, March 25th at 10 o'clock here at the gym. We'll be going out by 10:30, and we should be back by noon. So just a couple hours next Saturday. Then Pastor did mention that on next Sunday, we're having a family connect at 9:15 during Sunday school. So please, everyone with families, with kids, meet us in the gym. Fun, fellowship, food. We're just going to connect together there next. So that's Sunday the 26th. And then on April 1st, or what I like to call Palm Saturday, we're going to have the Easter egg hunt here at St. Mark's. And that is an outreach event here. We share all the events of Holy Week at that Easter egg hunt from Palm Sunday through the resurrection. So, and many hands make light work. There's some sign-up sheets like this that are behind the TV. So please sign up to help there, or contact me or Kaisa Miller. And or just show up with your smile. We just need people, too, just to greet the community and be welcoming. I think that's all. So the 25th, if you want to get the pin out of the pew or your purse and write on here, next Saturday the 25th at 10, go into the neighborhood. Then Sunday at 9:15, families in the gym. And then the next Saturday, Palm Saturday, April 1st, the event is from 10 to 12, but we'll need people here, some people, to set up and hide eggs as early as 8. And that is all. So, may the Lord bless the rest of your Sunday and your week. Feel free to greet each other before you leave.
Thank you.